Grace and peace to you from God our Father, dear friends, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you were with us last Sunday, you'd recall that I briefly talked about a word that Jesus spoke to his disciples that reveals the secret to living a productive Christian life. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus repeats this word 10 times in the first 16 verses. The word is abide, or meno in Greek. As I said, I briefly touched on this word and its significance last Sunday, so I'd like to revisit this word a little bit, spend a little time this morning on this word as it bears some perspective on our text for this morning. Now, Jesus said that if a branch is to bear or produce fruit, it must be attached. It must be connected. It must be grafted to the vine. In fact, in the first 8 verses of John's 15th chapter, Jesus expresses to his disciples how he wants them to go from simply bearing fruit to bearing much fruit, spiritual fruit, that is. It's like Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to go from being a regular hamburger to being a Whopper or a Big Mac. I want you to go from being just a regular large size of soda to a supersized or big gulp from 7-Eleven. Now, when Jesus talks about his disciples needing to bear much fruit, being supersized, he's talking about them, and he's talking about us living productive Christian lives, a Christian life that is growing in the character of Jesus, a Christian life that resembles the life of Jesus, a life that glorifies God, praises God, and a life that benefits or blesses others. That is what Jesus is talking about, the need for his disciples to produce or to bear much fruit. So if you are a Christian that bears or produces much fruit, you would look more like Jesus, not less. If you are a Christian that produces much fruit, you would give more glory and praise to God, not less. And if you are a productive Christian bearing spiritual fruit, you would benefit, you would bless others more, not less. Now, there are 3 characteristics of being fruit or being fruitful. First, a fruit always bears the character of the tree or the vine of which it was a part of. In other words, the character of the tree or the vine will determine the nature of the fruit. This is why you don't see a pear on an apple tree or a coconut on a banana tree. This is why we don't see a peach on a mango tree. The character of the tree or the vine will determine the nature of the fruit. The second thing that we need to know about fruit is that fruit is always visible. You can see it. It's tangible. You could touch it. You could see it. You've never seen an invisible fruit, as strange as that statement may sound. Fruit will always be visible. So if you're bearing fruit, if you're bearing spiritual fruit, other people is going to see it. Other people is going to know it. And they're going to feel it. That's what it means to be a disciple that bears, that produces fruit. Good Christian life. The third thing we need to know about fruit is that it always exists for the benefit of someone else. You see, a fruit cannot eat itself. The only time a fruit eats itself is when it's rotting, or if it's a rotten fruit. Otherwise, fruit exists for the benefit of someone else. So you know you're bearing fruit when other people want to take a bite out of your life, when they want to copy you, when they want to emulate you. You know you're bearing fruit when other people want to follow you because you follow Jesus. Of course, the opposite is true. If you don't look like Jesus, if nobody sees you acting and exhibiting the character of Jesus, if nobody wants to be like you because of Jesus, then you are a dying tree, a dying vine that produces nothing. Now, as I taught last Sunday, in order for us to be productive branches, producing more and much fruit as Jesus expects, Jesus gave his disciples then and today, the secret formula, if you will, the secret recipe on how to produce much fruit in our Christian life. And that secret recipe is that we are to abide in Him and He in us. Now again, to abide means to reside, to rest in, to live in, or to live with, to loiter, or as we say nowadays, to hang out with. That's what it means to abide. That's what Jesus wants of his disciples. Now, the word abide or meno is John, the gospel writers, it's John's word for intimacy. To abide is to have an intimate relationship with another. And Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. It doesn't get any closer relationship than that. Jesus is saying, if you want to be like me, if you want to exhibit my nature, if you want to reflect who I am, hang out with me. If you want to live productive lives, fruit-bearing life, we'd do well to hang out with Jesus, to abide in Him. And if we want to live productive lives, lives that bear much fruit, a fruit that glorifies God more, and fruit that blesses and benefits others more, then we'd do well to let Jesus hang out with us, to abide in us. So here's the question. When do you abide in Jesus? Is it only on Sunday mornings when you get here? Is it only when once in a blue moon you open your Bible and read a passage or two? Is that the only time you abide with Jesus and He abides in you? How often do you let Him hang out with you? How often does Jesus say, hey, let me hang out with you at work? Would you allow that? How or when do you abide or hang out with Jesus? What Jesus is asking of his disciples is that we abide in him with the totality of our existence. That there cannot be any separation between us and him and us. That is Jesus' command of his disciples. Abide in me and I in you, and you will produce, you will bear much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said in verse 5. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. This, my friend, is the key, the secret, the recipe to bearing good spiritual fruit, to living productive Christian life that will glorify God and that will bless and benefit others and that will last. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. Those who abide in Jesus get their prayers answered. That's what Jesus promised in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Again, when do you abide in Jesus? When do you abide with him? When do you hang out with Jesus? Because those who abide in him get their prayers answered. So we are commanded to abide. Don't just visit Jesus once in a while. Don't just visit him when trouble lurks or when you're in the thick of things. Don't just call on him whenever you need something of him. Call on him with the totality of your existence. You know, one of the things that we believers are very good at, and I've seen this of every Christian, of every, almost in every culture, of every country, that Christians, we are very good in seeking and wanting to abide with Jesus so that we could get something, the benefits of that relationship. We don't necessarily interested in hanging out with him. We just want what he can give us. Kind of reminds me, when we were growing up, my father used to work for the Lutheran World Federation, which required him to travel all around the world 10 months out of the year. And when he first started traveling, we missed him. He would be gone for 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. But whenever he came back, he always brought us something, toys, from wherever he came from. And we loved the fact that we could look forward to him bringing us something when he returns. And it got to the point that we couldn't wait for him to leave, so that he could come back bringing us something new. When Jesus says, abide in me and I abide in you, it is a relationship that should not be able to separate. That it will be filled with all the benefits and all the joy of abiding in that intimate relationship. Well, our gospel text for this sixth Sunday of Easter picks up where we left off. And as in the previous 8 verses of chapter 15, Jesus once again instructs, yes, commands his disciples to abide. But this time, to abide in his love. He says, abide in my love. Which means we are to live in, to dwell, to remain in his love, to loiter about, to stay, to hang out with, to hang out with his love if we're to keep his commandments and his words. Now what Jesus is talking about here is the unusual relationship between love and obedience. I say unusual because that's how we think of those two words, that they're not necessarily fit together. But you see, contrary to common perception, obedience is the byproduct, the fruit of love. In other words, obedience comes out of love. You can't obey someone unless there is love there. Now, if you obey them because you're told, you're forced, you're coerced, that's out of fear, not out of love. And it is not obedience. To obey, there must be love. Now, the kind of love that Jesus refers to here is love as a verb, not as a noun. A verb, a strong expression that anticipates action, requiring us to do something. That is what Jesus had in mind when he said, abide in my love. Remain connected to me, and I will connect with you and keep you. And I will hang out with you as you hang out with me by keeping my commands and the words I have given you. See, on this Sunday, when our gospel lesson encourages us to think about love and obedience, I find it God's timing, and I find it very appropriate that we also are joining with people throughout this country to give thanks to our mothers. After all, no one casts a longer shadow across our lives than our mothers. And whether our mother is alive and sharing life with us, or she is in the Lord's hand in heaven, today is our day to remember how blessed we have been by our mothers, or by whomever was the person that played a formative mothering love or role in your life. Now, I have no doubt that some of you can give an example of a mother who was cold, uncaring, aloof, but I believe that would be the exception. Most of us have been blessed by our mothers who were loving toward us, who were caring, and who sacrificed a great deal for their concern over us. Our gospel lesson for today, it challenges us to create an intimate family connection that binds us together with others who believe in the Lord. So Jesus fashioned a new image of a family tree. It's not one that's made of cedar or oak or maple or whatever, but it's one made of, fashioned out of a vine. A twisting, spreading, interweaving vine and branches with the sole purpose of producing or bearing fruit. Now, what kind of love is Jesus speaking of in our passage this morning? Well, first, Jesus speaks to us about a tenacious love. The kind of love that will not easily let us go. A kind of love that will not abandon or forsake us. The kind of love that will stay through and through no matter what. Remain in my love, Jesus says. Keep my commandments and abide in my love. And on this Mother's Day, I can't think of any other expression to capture the spirit of most mothers than the words tenacious love. Tenacious is a wonderful word that captures the desire to retain, the desire to preserve, to protect, the desire to hold together. Our Lord calls us to precisely be that kind of love, to show, to live out that kind of love and that kind of determination as His followers. We are to be mother-like in our faithfulness, in our fortitude, in our determination to make a difference in the lives of others. The second thing that Mother's Day calls to our remembrance is the tremendous impact mothers have on the lives of their children and their family. Again, the words of Jesus on this sixth Sunday after Easter picks up this theme of sacrificial love that is so apparent in the lives of most mothers. Jesus says to us this morning, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Love one another as I have loved you." Some of you may have heard the story of a pastor who's been called to a new church, and the congregation is elated that they finally got a new pastor, and the pastor's first sermon was on this very text, "Love one another as I have loved you." Then the following Sunday, it was the same text preached the same way, the same message. And for 5 weeks straight, he preached on the same text, same message, the same way. Finally, the chairman or the chair of the council had a meeting with the pastor and said, "Everybody's ticked off at you. Have you no other sermon than this, love one another as I have loved you?" The pastor said, "Well, until you all get it right, I won't move on. Get it right, then I'll preach on a different text and a different message." Easier said than done to say, "Love one another as I have loved you." But that is precisely what Jesus commanded us to do. Jesus did not say it, but he could have said, "Love one another with the faithfulness and determination you saw in your mother's love for you." I have no doubt whatsoever that the single human being who had the greatest influence on Jesus' life was his mother, Mary. For Mary's role in God's plan was not just to give birth to Jesus and then she faded away into the sunset. No. She remained connected to her son. She abided with her son, Jesus, all the way to the very end when she stood beside him as he hung on the cross. Friends, the finest way for us to express our gratitude for our mothers is not just through gifts or flowers or coming to church with her on Sundays. Although those are great gestures, those are great and nice and certainly appreciated. But the highest tribute, I think, that we can give to our mothers, whether they're living still or already in heaven, the greatest tribute that we can give to our mother is for us to be kind, to be loving, to be creatively caring human beings. Yes, to bear much fruit that will glorify God and will benefit those in your life. For by doing so, for being so, you will indeed reflect the very character of Jesus, the true vine. And you will glorify your Father in heaven and bless and benefit those around you. Friends, may God bless you. May God bless us so that our lives may be lived in gratitude for those who first loved us. Amen.